We are continuing our series in the book of Acts, so I want to invite you to turn to Acts chapter 2 today. Acts is about the church on mission, and that's what we are. We are a church on mission. So let's open our scriptures to Acts chapter 2, and let me pray before we look at his word together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us your word. Thank you that it's true. Thank you that you've revealed your son to us in it. I pray that we would receive your word today as the true word of God. Give us understanding, we pray. We pray that you would help us to believe what you said and to obey it. Help us to learn what you want us to learn and change the ways that you want us to change right now. I pray that your spirit would do his work in our hearts, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. So like I said, Acts is about the church on mission, and our mission is making disciples for Jesus by being witnesses. And I've been challenging us to talk about Jesus with the people that we know, and I'm just praising God to hear you guys like share the way that you've been able to do that. But I've got to admit, like, it's hard sometimes, isn't it? When I think of my own life, like, it's one thing for me to stand up here in front of the church and talk about Jesus, but like just interacting with friends and family and, you know, like the guys that come in here to work on the building and just random people that you come across, it's a little bit more difficult to do that. And why is it that we don't always want to share about Jesus or invite somebody to church or that kind of thing? Sometimes I think it's that we're not quite sure what to say. We don't know how to make the person understand. We're kind of grasping for the words. I think sometimes it's we feel intimidated about talking to somebody. Or fearful about how they're going to respond, or maybe even a little embarrassed about sharing Jesus with them. Like, what are they going to think? What are they going to say? Are they going to think I'm weird? Like that kind of thing. And sometimes we don't feel the urgency. I think for myself, like, I don't feel the urgency that this is, you know, life and death, eternal life and eternal death. And if they don't turn to the Lord in faith, they're lost from God forever in eternity. This is I don't feel the weight of that, the gravity of it. And I confess to you, it's a matter of love. It's a matter of really caring for their heart, for their soul. Those are some of the reasons I think it's difficult to share. And you can think of others for yourself, but the Lord God has provided a solution to us for all of these hangups that we might have in our mission. And the solution is, you ready for this? The solution is the Holy Spirit. Okay. And so if you're a believer in Jesus today, you have the Holy Spirit, and we, as Jesus's people who have the Spirit, we need to learn about how the Holy Spirit works, and we need to learn how to rely on him. And the passage that we're going to look at today is the account of when the Holy Spirit first came to the church. So I'll read this, and we want to talk about how he equips us for our mission. So let me read Acts 2, 1 to 13. When the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. They saw tongues like flames of fire that separated and rested on each one of them. Then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit gave them ability for speech. Now there were Jews staying in Jerusalem, devout people from every nation under heaven. When this sound occurred, a crowd came together and was confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us can hear them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those who live in Mesopotamia, in Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the magnificent acts of God in our own tongues." They were all astounded and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But some of them sneered and said, "They're drunk on new wine." This is God's word. So back in chapter 1 of Acts, we in the passage where Jesus commissions his followers, he sends them out on his mission before he goes up to heaven. This is what he told them. Look at chapter 1, verse 4. It says, "When he was with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise, which, he said, you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days." So he told these people, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You got to wait for him. Wait for the Holy Spirit, and then you're going to go out on mission. Okay, I'm giving you your mission, but wait till you get the power. Okay, and then in verse 8, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." So they've got to wait for the Holy Spirit to come, and this is it. It said there are 120 people gathered together in an upper room. It's like, think of this size crowd in this size room, maybe in a bigger room, but this amount of people gathered together. They're seeking the Lord. They're praying. They're waiting, like Jesus told them to. And it's the day of Pentecost. So this is a Jewish festival that they celebrated every year, where they celebrate the harvest and bring offerings to the Lord in the temple. And so there are a lot of people in town in Jerusalem for that festival. But they're gathered together waiting. It's 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, 10 days after he ascended to heaven. And then it says there's this sound, this powerful sound, like a mighty rushing wind, a violent rushing wind. A couple years after, I think it was like a year after we moved here, there was Hurricane Sandy. You remember Hurricane Sandy? And by the time it came to Connecticut, it was a superstorm. It had been degraded from hurricane status to superstorm status. I had planted a tree. I tied the tree to the little stakes in the ground so it wouldn't get blown away, because that's what they told me to do. But it was a Sunday morning that it happened, and I remember looking out the window and just like everything is shaking, and it was so loud. And I thought, I think I'm just gonna step out and see what it's like out there. And I creaked the door open. I was like, I better not. You know, I was like, it could totally blow me away. And it was so loud, like a violent rushing wind. Can you imagine that being inside the building? You know, but it doesn't say that it was like blowing people around, but they heard this powerful whoosh, I guess, you know. They heard this powerful sound. It wasn't destructive, but it was impressive. And it says it was a sound from heaven. Okay, so the idea is this is from God. And as Peter's going to explain in the next section, Jesus is the one who has sent his Spirit onto the people. Okay, and then it says they saw, this sounds strange, even now, you know, it's so familiar, but it's so strange, tongues like flames of fire. That's what it looked like. They saw tongues of fire coming down, and they divided and rested on each person. And I think the idea is there's one Spirit of God, but each person who's a believer in Christ there received from the same Spirit. It divided and rested on each one of them. Then if you look at verse 4, it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and we're going to talk about what that means. But and they began to speak in different tongues, different languages, like real languages that people speak. The Holy Spirit gave them miraculously, supernaturally, the ability to speak different languages. And it had that list of all these people from different places who were visiting Jerusalem. It's like, oh, you speak Cretan? I don't know if that's a real language. I'm going to speak Cretan. You know, you speak the language of Phrygia? I can speak Phrygian. Like, one of those apostles is speaking Phrygian, like, without having to download Duolingo and listen to the app for, you know, hours and hours. They just supernaturally, miraculously could speak this language. And it says, as the Spirit gave them the ability, and the Greek is literally like to declare boldly. So they had confidence to speak out. And later it says they declared the magnificent acts of God. And so they're going to be talking about Jesus, as we'll see that next week in the next time we come back to this. Okay, but the idea is this: Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to his followers, and the Holy Spirit is equipping them for the mission that they're going to go on. And this is different from earlier times. Before this point in the history of God's redemption of his people, before this time, the Holy Spirit was active, but the Holy Spirit would sometimes come and help somebody do a certain task and then go away, you know. And so, like, people, like, would have the Holy Spirit helping them for a short time, temporarily. But now, after this point, after this day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit of God comes to every believer in Christ and stays with us. Like Jesus talked about, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that's what's happened. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you're a believer in Jesus, you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. He stays with you all the time. Now, who is this Holy Spirit? I mean, look at his name. He's a spirit. Doesn't have a body like Jesus has a body. But he's holy. So he's just like God. He is God. He's totally pure. He's true. He's right. He's good. He's not just an energy. He's not just a force, not just a feeling. Sometimes people say, oh, I really felt the Spirit working. Now, sometimes, yeah, you do feel the Spirit, but, like, your feelings kind of change, right? You feel him. You feel good sometimes. You feel bad sometimes. The Spirit is more than just a feeling. The Spirit is the Holy Spirit of God who's with you no matter what you're feeling. If you're a believer in Jesus, he's the third person of the triune God, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, if you don't understand that, that's probably good, because God is beyond our understanding. He's more than we can get. We can't really wrap our brain around him, but that's who it is. It's the Holy Spirit. He's the personal God who's with us all the time when we're believers in Jesus. The Holy Spirit does a lot of work. He convicts us of our sins. He makes us alive in Christ when we believe. Okay, he reminds us of the truth. He comforts us. He gives us gifts to serve the church. He helps us to avoid committing sin and instead to bear his fruit, the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He's working in our hearts to develop these qualities so that we're more like Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit is very active. He's doing a lot in our lives. Now, in Acts, the emphasis is on how he's equipping his people for mission. That's the main emphasis in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to proclaim Jesus to the people around us. And we're going to talk about that. But before we talk about that, I want to talk about two of these phrases that are in these scriptures that we've looked at. One is being baptized with the Holy Spirit, and one is being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because there's a lot of confusion out there about what these things mean, baptism of the Spirit or being filled with the Spirit. So if you look back at chapter 1, verse 5, Jesus tells the apostles to wait in Jerusalem until they're baptized with the Holy Spirit. And this event that, like I told you, this event on Pentecost is that. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit has come. The people are baptized into him. They have the Holy Spirit living in their lives. Okay, and this event is unique because that's when the Holy Spirit first came. But after that event, people are baptized by the Holy Spirit when they first believe in Christ. So all of you who believe in Christ, you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so baptism of the Holy Spirit is not like some people, you used to hear this a lot, and like when I was a kid, like 1988, you would hear a lot of people say things like this. Like the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a second blessing where, okay, you've become a Christian, but then later at some point you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and that means you're going to speak in tongues. And when they say speaking in tongues, that means you're going to pray in a special angelic language to the Lord, okay? But as you can see in this passage, that what we're talking about, baptism of the Holy Spirit, is not that. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is when you trust in Jesus, and then Jesus gives you his Holy Spirit who's in your life, and he's always there with you, okay? Okay, so that's baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, although all believers have been baptized with the Holy Spirit, sometimes believers are filled with the Spirit, and sometimes they're not. In Ephesians, there's a command to Christians. It says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. So Paul in that passage is commanding us, be filled with the Spirit. You have the Spirit, you're baptized in the Spirit, but be filled with him. And that's different than being controlled by alcohol. Okay, so the idea is you're under the control of the Spirit. You submit to the control of the Spirit. And the interesting thing is the fruit of the Spirit is self-control, so that when you're yielding to the Spirit's control, you don't get out of control. You are under control, but you are doing what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. Okay, so you're yielding to his control. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit, is when we actively, consciously are yielding to God's control in our lives, yielding to the Holy Spirit's control of our lives, doing what he wants us to do. And an interesting thing is, who is the author of this book? The Holy Spirit of God is the author of this book, and he's totally consistent. So if you are being filled with the Spirit, you're going to be obeying what the Scripture says. It's not going to be something different from what the Scripture says. It's going to be consistent with what the Scripture says. So when you're filled with the Spirit, that goes along with obeying the Word of God. So we're all baptized in the Spirit, and then we're commanded to be filled with the Spirit, which is doing what he wants, yielding to his control in our lives. Okay, so now I want to get back to this idea about our mission. So the Holy Spirit equips us for our mission. And let's look at how he did this in this second chapter of Acts. If going back to verse 4, it says that the people, the believers in Christ, were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them ability. And these are real languages that they're speaking. And in the book of Acts, that's what tongues is. And like I told you, the Greek means they're proclaiming boldly. Like that's the word at the very end of chapter, at the end of verse 4. It says, as the Spirit gave them ability for speech. The Greek word's like, as the Spirit gave them the ability to speak boldly, to proclaim boldly. So they've been in this room, the Spirit comes, and then they go out in the street, or maybe they go to the temple courts, and they're talking to people in the languages, the native languages of whoever they came across. Miraculously, they're able to speak these languages. Even though they're from Galilee, they had never downloaded Duolingo. They just spoke Aramaic and Greek. They didn't speak all these world languages. But all these people were in town for the Jewish festival, and then maybe some of them had been in the Jewish diaspora, you know, it's like scattered around the world, but then had come back to Jerusalem to live, and so they're living, but they still spoke this the language of the place where they came from, and they're like astounded, like, how is it that these uneducated Galileans are speaking my language? They never went to school. How did they learn it? And they can't figure it out. And then look at verse 9, 10, 11. There's this whole catalog of different places from and these different people groups where all these ethnicities and nationalities of people that and places they came from who are staying in Jerusalem. And it reminds me of the Great Commission that Jesus gave us, that in Matthew 28, he says, make disciples of every nation, okay? And then in the book of Acts, it says, you know, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and then what? To the ends of the earth. So the Holy Spirit, as he's equipping us for a mission, he wants the message to go out everywhere, all over the world, and to all different kinds of people, different cultures, different languages. So he wants, you know, like the gospel isn't just for one nationality. The gospel is for everyone. And so he already, at the very beginning, the very first day the Spirit came, he's moving the gospel out to these people who are from all these different places, and then they can take the gospel to wherever they came from. It's amazing. So, and in verse 11, they're like, what is going on? What are these people doing? How are they able to do this? They're declaring the magnificent works of God. And as we're going to see next time, what the disciples are talking about is they're talking about Jesus, about how he died for our sins, and he was raised from the dead, and how he offers forgiveness. When you believe in him, you receive forgiveness from God. You receive eternal life from him. So that's the magnificent work of God that they're proclaiming. The Holy Spirit is still working. Can I get a witness on that? Okay, and the Holy Spirit works in many ways. Like I told you in Acts, the emphasis is on the way that he equips his followers for our mission. And he equips you and me for our mission too. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul writes that the Holy Spirit gives different gifts to different people. So not everybody has the same gift. And he specifically in 1 Corinthians mentions the gift of tongues. And he says some people receive the gift of tongues, but not everybody does. Okay, so not all of us are going to have that ability to speak in a tongue, okay? But all of us, the Holy Spirit, for every believer in Jesus, the Holy Spirit is going to work in us and equip us for our mission, okay? So for all of us, just like he did for the apostles, the Holy Spirit wants to give us boldness to proclaim the good news about Jesus to the people around us. And if you just notice in the passage how often it talks about speaking, over and over it has words like they said this, they were speaking this, they were proclaiming that in different tongues, you know, they're speaking. And so the Holy Spirit is going to also for us give us boldness so that we will speak, we'll declare, we'll proclaim the good news of Jesus to people who need to hear that message, because they got to hear the message. You know, faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by the word. They've got to hear the word. Okay, and also, here's something the Holy Spirit is going to do in us. The Holy Spirit works to overcome the barriers that divide people and that hinder the spread of the gospel. You know, like people are always talking about this, how divided the culture is. Is that not true? That people are divided from each other. The technology kind of helps that because you can kind of silo yourself in your own little world and get your own opinions reinforced to you and be separate from the other people who think different ways and have a different culture, okay? But the Holy Spirit is working to overcome the division and the separation, the barriers that divide people, the barriers that are going to hinder the spread of the gospel. The Holy Spirit wants people to be able to understand the gospel in a way that makes sense to them. So the Spirit is going to supernaturally enable believers in Christ to change the way that they talk. And even if he's not like giving you the miraculous gift of a tongue, he's going to help you change the way that you speak in order to accommodate the people that he wants you to share with. He's going to like help you figure out, how is this person going to get it? How are they going to understand? How can I explain the good news to them in a way that they're going to understand and accommodate that person? There are a lot of people out there who are different from you. Culturally, linguistically, they wear different clothes, they have a different mindset, they have a different lifestyle. The way that the Holy Spirit works in us is that he compels us to move out towards them, to learn to express God's love and his truth to them in ways that they can get it, not waiting for them just to come to us and adapt to us. You see, the Holy Spirit helps us to move out. In Matthew, Jesus says, go and make disciples. So he compels us to move out towards them. Now, of course, we're not going to compromise the truth. We're not going to disobey God's word. But short of that, the Holy Spirit helps us to love others, to move towards them, to change ourselves, even if we don't miraculously speak in a tongue, to learn their dialect, so to speak. Now, I used to teach Spanish in a private school in a really wealthy suburb of Dallas, Texas, and one time, I'm always going to remember this. At the time, it kind of ticked me off, but it probably shouldn't. But I was going to give the kids a test, right? And one of these high school kids was so mad about having to take the test. He didn't want to study. He hadn't studied. And he's like, oh, I shouldn't have to learn Spanish. Those guys that wash my dad's car should learn English. That was his attitude towards them. Now, I can understand. He's just mad about having to take his test, right? But the Holy Spirit works in us to have the totally opposite attitude from that, right? Instead of saying, oh, that person needs to change so they can talk to me, the Holy Spirit works in us so he helps us to change so that we can declare the unchanging truth of God to that other person in a way that they can get it. He's given us love for the other person so that we're willing to accommodate to them and bring them the unchanging truth of God. The Holy Spirit gives us a heart that loves our neighbors and helps us to cross the bridge into their world so that we can proclaim the unchanging truth of God to them. Brothers and sisters, you have neighbors, you have family, coworkers, acquaintances who don't know Jesus. Sometimes it's hard to talk to them because they're different from you. But you have the Holy Spirit of God. So let's pray. Let's pray together that he will equip us, and he wants to do this. He's totally willing to do this, that he's going to equip us, that we can pray for boldness, for love for these people, for willingness to move out towards them, for clarity in the message that we speak. And the Holy Spirit is going to do that work in us. And I'm praying for myself and for us as a congregation that we're going to learn to rely on the Spirit and do that even more. Okay, so what we've seen so far is that the Holy Spirit has come and he's equipped Jesus' followers for our mission. And now I want to talk about how people respond to the work of the Holy Spirit. And in this passage, as you noticed, generally, the people were baffled by what was going on. They knew that this was a strange phenomenon, and they didn't quite understand. Look at verse 6, it says they were confused. Verse 7 says they were astounded and amazed. Verse 8, they're like saying, how is it that we can hear them in our own language? How could this happen? Verse 12 says again that they're astounded and perplexed. And verse 12 says, like, they say, what does this mean? So, now, this isn't the end of the story. Later, Peter's going to explain. The apostle Peter's going to stand up, give a sermon. He's going to explain what's going on. He talks about Jesus to them. He proclaims Jesus to them. And thousands of people are going to respond in faith in Christ. Some of the people that hear will not respond in faith in Christ. So that's the direction the story is going, that there's going to be different kinds of responses to the work of the Holy Spirit. Some of the responses will be positive. Some of them will be negative. Some will receive the good news of Jesus and believe it. Some people will reject it. And already in this passage, you can see hints that that's coming, that some people seem open to the possibility that it's God who's working. They're like, these people are proclaiming the magnificent acts of God in my language. How can this be? You know, but then other people are really closed off to the possibility that God is working. They're like, ah, it says they sneered. You know, they were mocking. They're like, oh, those people are just drunk. That's why I hear all that gibberish. They're just drunk. And so they don't want to give God any credit. So what we need to observe is that different people are going to respond different ways. They're going to respond to the work of the Holy Spirit in different ways. And we can't control how they respond to the Holy Spirit. We're just called to do what we're called to do. You know, we're called to proclaim boldly Jesus to them, to love them with the love of God, and then we leave the response up to them. That we can't twist any arms, we can't manipulate people. It's up to them. But we do our part of proclaiming Jesus to them and then just see what God does. Brothers and sisters, we should be a Spirit-filled church. Can I get a witness? Can I get an amen? We should be a Spirit-filled church. Now, sometimes people call me up because they're interested in the church, and they say, is Calvary Chapel a Spirit-filled church? And a lot of times what they mean is, do you speak in tongues in the worship service? Like, not in the sense of Acts 2, but in the sense of, are you speaking in an angelic language when you pray, you know, during the worship service? And, or they might, what they might mean is the worship experience in this church going to give me this really intense feeling? You know, and that's what they mean when they ask, are you Spirit-filled? Now, without criticizing any other churches, you know, our church is not in that tradition of speaking in tongues during the worship service, okay? And so when I say we need to be a Spirit-filled church, that's not what I'm talking about. And I'm not just talking about feelings, okay? But what I mean when we should be a Spirit-filled church is that we need to submit to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us. We need to yield to His control over our lives. And what He wants to do is equip us for His mission. He wants us to proclaim Jesus to the people around us. A Spirit-filled church is a church that's on mission. A church that's relying on the Holy Spirit of God to proclaim Jesus to our friends and neighbors and family and coworkers. A church that's not, so the Holy Spirit is equipping us for the mission that Jesus gave us to make disciples by being His witness, by being His witnesses. And so let's be that. Let's be a Spirit-filled church. So I want to just take a moment before I pray and give you a chance to pray. And here's some things that I want to encourage you to pray about. If there are times when the Holy Spirit was prompting you to share Jesus with somebody and you didn't take that opportunity, just confess it to Him and tell Him, hey, I should have listened to you, but I didn't. And then ask the Holy Spirit to work in you, to give you a love for your neighbors, to give you boldness in proclaiming the message, clarity in proclaiming the message, and that He would do His work in drawing people to Himself and use us, that He would use us. So let's just take a moment. I'm going to give you a chance to pray, and then I'll lead us in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that we would be filled by your Spirit, and that we would proclaim your Son boldly to the people around us. And we pray that you would do an awesome work and draw people to yourself. We know that your Spirit is working in our time. We sense that. We can see the openness and the hunger that people have for the things of God around us. And we pray that you would just do your work and bring people to faith in your Son and use us in that. And help folks to grow in you too. And we want to be growing in you, learning to rely on your Spirit in everything. So help us, we pray. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.